Hey, good morning, everyone. Today is Tuesday, April 27th, 2021, and, oh, that's legal counsel update. It's still April 27th, 2021, 9:30 a.m. Paid your radio, we did that. Today is 11, it's 11:02. City Council Monthly Update, Courthouse Room 157. We've got a few things on our agenda today, and we'll start off with emergency management contract renewal and City Manager Kubik. I think we go around the room, please, and identify yourself. Does that help out? For the record, anyway, I'm
Commissioner Dan Dion. Sure, I'd like to know. It's hard to, is it you behind the mask? Darren Fowler, Commissioner.
Brian DeLagrange, City Councilor.
Sarah Bristol, Mayor.
Aaron Kubik, City of Grants Pass.
Vicki Strand.
Yes.
Resident of Grants Pass.
Gotcha.
Yes, Denise Holland, Holland Capital Management.
Okay, thank you.
Annette Sorensen, Commissioner's Office.
Okay, thank you. Okay, so City Manager Kubik, and also we have Trish in the back minute. Fire away.
Oh, well, we just wanted to have that on the agenda. The contract is coming up for renewal, and we've had a three-year contract with the county.
Okay.
We think that it's gone really well.
Okay.
And just wanted to see what your guys' take was on the contract. If you think there needs to be any changes or modifications. I talked with Sarah last week about it, and she doesn't perceive any necessary changes or modifications at all, but I didn't know if you'd had that conversation. We'll be having that conversation with the policy board, I think, in May. It might be coming on the agenda or something along those lines, because we'd like to get council to approve an extension or a new contract.
I think we should just put this on the agenda. We'll have a presentation about it. We'll talk and we'll bring Sarah in, because we'd like to hear from Sarah what her take is on it, if there needs to be any adjustment up, down,
well,
or something.
And as liaison, we have been talking about it. Sorry, Chair. And yeah, she's prepared to go forward with it. And so you guys are looking at it, right?
Yeah, like another 3 year?
Yeah, that's what I thought she was proposing.
Yeah. Yeah.
Yep, and so I think it's in process, and you guys are looking at it.
Yep.
Yep, and so that's good. It also reminds me, though, that there's a concern we have after everybody's thinking, of course, what the tragedy that happened in Jackson County. And I have concerns, and we've been talking with our emergency management and the sheriff's office about evacuation plans.
Uh-huh.
So that there's some sort of known way, a website you could check, and maybe hiring someone. Jackson County's hiring someone to help with mm-hmm. their evacuation planning.
Mm-hmm.
It lies in the sheriff's office, but in the city of Grants Pass, of course, your police know the streets better and everything, so there should be a coordination there.
Mm-hmm.
And so as part of this discussion, when we're talking about emergency management and plans, that evacuation thing, I think, really needs to be on our plate, because if we have something in May or June of this year, I have a feeling the evacuation is not going to go very smoothly. And so we need to work on that for, you know, what if it came over Beacon Hill or whatever, and we've got the whole town, what are we going to do? You know, or if it just was burning in Merlin, didn't affect Grants Pass yet, but needed to have the plan of who we're going to move. And so all those things have to be discussed beforehand, we hope, in some sort of general plan, so the police know where to go and the sheriff knows where to go.
So a neighborhood evacuation plan, it could almost be like a GIS layer or something along those lines. Or something.
Right, right. Eventually it could get exactly right there where someone could check it.
Yeah.
And it'd be part of your emergency planning as I got my go kit, I've got my where I'm going, and then mm-hmm. I know how to get there.
Mm-hmm.
I think it needs to be twofold too. Like, for instance, when Jackson County had the problem, we received all of their people and didn't know what mm-hmm. to do with them.
Right.
Lily and I were over at Public Health in the middle of the night trying to figure out where you put all these folks.
Yeah.
And we started out at the fairground and said, why are we going right past exit 55 where all the churches are? And we were able to get a hold of the churches, and the churches said, bring them here. You know, the Parkway was there, Edgewater was there, mm-hmm. you know, bring them out here.
And it was good thinking right on your feet.
Rather than going here, they had the parking lots, they had the auditoriums, they had all the things in the sanitary facilities, you know, sewer, water, and all the other stuff there. And why we didn't have that plan already in place as a recipient. And then we looked again, as soon as that brush fire was out, so to speak, we had the folks coming in from Slater. now what are we going to do with them, what are we going to do with their animals, so on and so forth. So it's a twofold, and then what if it comes here, where are we going to go? We're the end of the valley, Roseburg? You know, can we go back to that?
Right.
Can we go to the Illinois Valley? Is there any facilities out there, the school or whatever? I think it needs to be two ways, because we always, it's like with emergency management and the people that talk about the big shake and everything.
Mm-hmm.
You talk to every emergency manager and you ask them to say, what makes you think you're going to be standing and walking? You're going to be at the bottom of some rubble building anyway. You might be. Have you thought about that? Well, no, geez. Well, you really do need to think that you're not going to be here for your family or whatever. So I think it's a twofold thing.
Now's the time to plan while it's on people's minds.
Mm-hmm. We really struggled the first couple of days. You know, we had a
sure.
Fortunately, we called the Mary Groves in and the people that out of the fairground. They said, "You bet, we'll arm up and we're ready to go." But I think it needs to be a little smoother so that we aren't making those decisions of trying to wake up Pastor Weber in the middle of the night and see if we can use his church. You know, knock on his door. So. Let's look at that from a two-sided thing. That's just my input.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, does that make sense?
Yep.
Okay. We talked about that yesterday in our meeting. Lang Johnson presented to us about wildfire, mm-hmm. and he touched on the fact that they are working on a city evacuation plan. I don't know how earnestly they're working on it, but he did bring that up to council yesterday.
Great.
So that at least has a start. And then the bigger piece that you're talking about, that's something that we should probably get together with Sarah on, because that's not something we can do on our own. We're gonna have to partner with you guys for that.
Okay.
Yeah. That's good. So I just want to let you know it's in our queue also.
Okay.
Policy.
And Darren will give us an update on that contract.
Sarah's out for a couple weeks, but Emily will be doing it.
Yeah.
We'll let Sarah give us a. Update on that, and then we'll go from there. Item two is a card lock water dispenser in Merlin. I know last year we talked about this, and it still hasn't happened.
No, we haven't. It's
you do? Oh, hallelujah. But anyway, last year we were struggling with the fact that out at New Hope, the guys could not get water fast enough. We're not allowed to sell water, and there's all kinds more reasons why it couldn't happen than could happen. That card lock at Merlin, it seemed to me when I was on the city council, you were dumping water out of that reservoir up there to keep it fresh. And why not dump it into a tank and let somebody grow the pot with it?
Water their strawberries.
Yeah, water their strawberries with it, excuse me. And
it's for construction.
You do have that up and running now? You do have it up and running? Where's it located?
It's where the old Joe Grow facility
was, basically. Yeah.
So they head into there and get it?
Yeah, Republic Services oversees.
Is overseas. Oh, great.
Yep.
There's plenty of room for queuing in there, too.
Yeah.
So in other words, the problem we have out of New Hope is you get 20 trucks lined up to fill up. And now they're out into Wings Highway, they're out in New Hope Road. And people
surrounding the hamburger joint.
It's busy enough. 238's a dangerous enough road as it is, not without it yet.
And council just recently increased the fee for that also.
And
we got both stations running.
Do they get a ticket do they swipe a card?
They have an account, I believe.
Mm-hmm. They have an account card system.
Does it gauge how much water they got? Do you have a record of that?
It's got a meter and everything.
I think with the upcoming drought, we're going to see some demands on that information.
Or that infrastructure and information, yeah, both.
Oh, no, I get all my water. How much did you get?
Mm-hmm.
Who's your contractor?
Mm-hmm.
And then that contractor is going to say, I delivered 93,000 gallons to this guy to grow his grapes or whatever.
Mm-hmm.
And he's going to need to prove that. We had a real hotbed discussion on water,
on
surface water for grows and stuff this morning on the radio. And I don't know how many calls I got last week on the water. But this guy here, who was out of Provo Creek, I think. Anyway, Powell Creek, I think it was. And he said, by the time I get my water, I have water rights out of there to water my hay field. Ain't no water there. It's all been taken care of. And then you talk to Water Master, I don't know, I'm not allowed to go on private property. So it's a stalemate. They just butt heads. And by the time the guy that has the water right, and you know, if we go back through history, there's been a lot of bloodshed over water. We never thought in Southern Oregon we would have an issue where we were going to have bloodshed over water. Well, by golly, ladies and gentlemen, I think we're really close to seeing that out there. Their water is very, very important. He said he lost a hay crop last, one crop of hay, because there was just no water left to rot. And this year looks like it's not going to be, it may be worse than it's ever been before. So then the water master, of course, the state water master says, well, you know, just go ahead, we'll declare a drought. And when you declare a drought, when the governor declares a drought, your agriculture, which should only come from surface water, now has the ability to pump out a well, subterranean well. And when they do that, I asked the state water master at the governor's meeting, I said, are you in an obligation to notify the 10 adjacent property owners that you're getting ready to pump out of their aquifer? No. I said, we think you're going to affect their house. I mean, you can't, if we're going to put a barn up there, you're going to, the 10 adjacent have an input. Nope, don't have to. And I said, well, you know, you're going to affect the aquifer, you're going to probably have some wells going dry. And he goes, quote, he said, most of the wells in Southern Oregon are hand dug and they should get out a shovel and dig it deep.
Do we have to use a covered wagon to get there?
I said, well, that's not exactly true. There probably are some hand dug wells around here, but not many wells are drilled. But he still said they need to drill down deeper. Go to more water, not my problem. And I thought, well, so we really got to be watch on the declarations of drought, declarations of any kind of emergency. Because a certain amount we lose as a governing body, we lose a certain amount of authority when we declare emergency.
Yep.
It goes to the emergency manager. And it goes away from us. Now, I don't mind shedding some of that.
And thinking of water dispensaries, the only other place might be on Redwood Highway. I know you're sending a line out to RCC. Is there a pumping station out there that maybe could turn into a card lock and you could keep the big trucks out of your road system?
Is there a reservoir above RCC?
RCC has their own small reservoir.
Right, okay. But you guys are getting water out to them.
We are getting the main out to that.
And doing a loop around or whatever.
Yeah, ultimately we're going to do a loop, yeah.
Right. Maybe there's a thought to put a dispensary, water dispensary out that way.
We could at some point in time. It's not in our plans at the moment.
No.
Are you going to include filling up their reservoir? Or can you not have their water in your water system?
They're just getting pressurized water or something like
yeah,
that.
They actually have, they're going to hook into our main with their own pump station. And then they'll use that pump station to service RCC. That's where it stops.
Yeah, ironically, they have their own power too. PPNL stops right at the property. Yeah. Well,
no,
they have their own electric power too. They buy it wholesale. They don't have they maintain their own. It's kind of weird.
Well, that whole facility was built by the federal government back in the 60s. So
probably got a lot of rules we didn't make.
No expense spared there. Okay, well, I think we've got anything else on the card lock system?
Nope.
You're up and running.
Yep.
So we can tell people that that's where they're going to get their water.
Both locations.
Cool.
I like it. Next up, City Grass Pass Special Events Park Permit. Vote Nate, DeYoung and Bear Trigger. Bear Trigger's not here, DeYoung is. What did you come up with on your executive session yesterday?
The mayor or counselor can probably give you a fill-in on what happened or what we're doing.
Sure. So we are... Moving forward, they have a lease. They have a 5-year lease that Active Club does for the park. So we have contacted our insurance company and are looking to make some amendments to the contract and addendum just to make some contingencies for COVID. But they still have the lease.
They still have the lease. Okay. Is there at some point in time that we could review what the contingency are, or is this something?
Is that an Active Club thing? Yeah.
I mean, it's between the Active Club and the city.
What's that?
It's between the Active Club and the city to make the adjustments to the lease.
Okay.
Well, that should go quickly. You could just say state guidelines and good luck.
Yeah, we should have something sealed up by the end of this week.
You know, to reinvent the wheel there.
Yeah, Mark and I'll talk tomorrow and probably have something in writing.
Date and then we'll go past it and stuff.
Yeah.
This is about point of no return. So we'll see how that works out.
Do you know what that date is?
Absolutely.
Would you like to share?
You won't tell me what you're gonna, what, I'm not in the acting club. No, I won't share it with you.
Okay.
Did you have an interest in Boatnik?
Do I have an interest in Boatnik?
Yeah, why, I'm not sure why it's on the agenda.
I was a president 40 years ago, and you never get out of Boatnik.
Never get out of
the I was part of the acting club when we were turning hamburgers down there to pay for the $1,250 race purse that we went and borrowed on a signature from Southern Oregon Bank for the race purse. And we were flipping hamburgers trying to get that $1,250 back. And since then, it has morphed into what
it is today. The second largest event in Oregon.
What it is today. And yes, I will have a vested interest in Boatnik until they pat dirt on my face with a shovel. They don't let you go. Once a Marine, always a Marine. And as past president, you bet, I do have an interest in it, and a very strong interest in it. As in, you know, I have, over the years, I set out 1 year. Hello, Rob.
Hey, guys.
You looking for the restroom, sir? okay, I'm sorry. This is Rob Brandesmeyer, our Public Works Director. Anyway, at one point in time, I put together a list, because we were very contentious over the use of the river and whatnot. I put together a list of all the agencies and all the entities that the Actors Club had to beg permission to use, and then a list of all the people supporters of Boatnik. Every one of these was a government agency, and I mean, it gets down to some, I go, why in the world do we have to ask them? We have to ask their permission. No one person doesn't check off done deal. It blocks the rest of them. The Marine Board, for instance, will not sign off unless the sheriff signs off on the safety plan, and the sheriff has to sign off before BLM signs off, before Oregon Marine Board signs off.
Before we sign off.
Before you sign off, before the county sign off. And it just goes on and on and on. And then the other side of it was Mock Ford, Row Motors, Evergreen Federal, Tap Rock. It was all merchants and supporters of Boatnik were all on this side. And they stepped up with their money to see it go forward. And these people were stepping up with their authority to get in its way. And that really bothered me. That hit really home with me. Because what are we doing here? Are we supporting an event that really, and then to kick back when it's all over and say, boy, did we do a good job. If the city wants it, they can have it. But they're gonna have to buy it. Active Club puts that on in the goodness of their heart, and all the money goes to charity. And yet we are going out of our way to see how much we can make them squirm. And I really had to fence that. So yes, ma'am, I am vested in Boatnik with 55 years of my life, probably older than you are. I've been there ever since. Mr. DeLaBrade, you had your arm.
Yeah, I was just thinking it might be helpful for the city manager and the city legal counsel to know what that point of no return is. I don't personally need to know, but if you want to tell them at a later time, it could be helpful.
I'll consider it.
Great.
Yeah. And I hope you leave it to the Active Club since they're the negotiator.
Yep.
Just a hope.
And the problem is I don't know if anybody understands promotion. I've done promotion from motorcycle hill climbs to the... I used to be the announcer for the Miller High Life, Taste Great, Less Filling, Tug of Wars, you name it. I've had a hill climb in Roseburg, Douglas County. I've had one here in town. We hosted the Pacific Northwest Hill Climb Championship, trying to bring people here on a tourist basis. And I was met every time by objections and obstruction from the government. And so I get a little testy with it, and I'm passionate about it. But I don't know if anybody understands what it takes to put on Boatnik. That's why we have a contract in the future. You just don't call Davis Shows on Friday and say, get here Saturday because my kid's having a birthday party and I'm on a full-blown carnival. That doesn't work. It's years in advance. The fairgrounds, the exact same thing. We plan a year in advance. How do you think we got Bruce Springsteen here last year, whatever his name was, and he doesn't just show up on Friday.
Lee Greenwood.
You got a contract well in advance.
I was pretty sure I hadn't missed and Bruce, but...
And those are things that really need to be planned. And when they can't plan, when Davis Shows can't plan to be here, that is thousands and thousands and thousands and thousands of dollars that they just, we said, no, can't use the park. They're gone. They've lost all of that revenue because that's what they do for a living. And it's just, I think that as city governments come and go, county governments come and go. You really need to have a tutorial on what it takes to put one of these events on before you can really make judgment on it. And I do think that all the tens of thousands of people that show up for Boatnik just did it. That's all promoted. It's in the promotion side of it. So I want everybody to understand how that works. And I get passionate about it because I've worked those hours. And I've had to do everything from the parade all the way to, and we've had people like George Foreman as the parade grand marshal, Iron Eyes Cody, Ben Davison from the Oakland Raiders. We had Mackenzie Colt from Hee-Haw. This is no slouch parade. We had the Chief Justice of the Supreme Court here 2 years ago as parade grand marshal.
Oregon Supreme Court, yeah.
Oregon Supreme Court.
It's a great
Martha
event.
Waller. She was just blown away by both.
It's a great event. I was just hoping you also shared our concern for the businesses that have been held hostage by the high numbers of COVID that we have here in the Valley and the low vaccination rate, and that you would continue to support efforts for people to get vaccinated so that we can move beyond this pandemic. Mm-hmm. So having a major crowd event at the beginning of the summer is a serious concern, but it is a month away, so we have time to continue to get our community vaccinated so that we'll be healthy and safe and all of our businesses can reopen this summer.
Did the Active Club share their poll numbers with you? They did a poll, Nelson poll.
They hired someone, yeah.
They hired a professional organization to do that. They polled 6% of Josephine County. Had the age demographics and whatnot. I should have brought that with me. But they came back 72% of the people polled, vast cross section, said they would not only support Boatnik, but they'd come to the event. Right. 72% of the people of Josephine County. So there's a pretty good positive for it. And can we predict what's going to happen? That, oh, everybody, this is a super spreader event. Oh my gosh, let's see what happened. That's all, it's in the future, and you can't get history until you have a future. So I guess, yes, we're going to try it. Also have to look at the fact that the numbers, which we've been gathering data for the last 15 months, show that the average death of COVID, and there's 60, almost 70 of them now, God rest their soul, but their average age was 80 years old. And most of them had pre-existing conditions. A good friend of mine passed away the other day, and he had a lot of pre-existing conditions. He was 80-something years old. You know, he was probably going to die anyway, but he did die of COVID. He had COVID when he died. I'm not saying COVID killed him, but he had COVID when he died. And when we look at those kind of numbers, and the less than 1% fatality rate, and that fatality rate in a very small group of people, and those probably aren't the people that are going to be in the park and in Boatnik. You know, the odds are pretty good, and we can
take. I think
take,
there are other people that are paying the price, though. We have high school seniors who can't invite their grandparents to graduation because of this. We have restaurants operating at 25%.
That's because of arbitrary rules by our governor. That's not because of.
But we can do something about that.
There's states like Texas that are 100% open, and they're not having outbreaks at all. So
we've been waiting for a year for the vaccine, and now that it's here, we just need to do it.
Let's have Boatnik and give us the freedom to go express ourselves and spend money if we want. If you don't want to go, stay home. That'll be fine with me. If you're 80 years old, you usually don't go to Boatnik anyway.
I just hope you will encourage our local citizens to get vaccinated so that we can move beyond this. It's not about Boatnik. Yeah. It's about our local businesses and our students going into the future.
Yeah, you're on the wrong side of this one. Mm-hmm. Yeah, Oregonians, outnumber you.
I just ran a real close to
I am an Oregonian. I was born right in this town.
Right, all rural Oregon outnumbers you on what they think of the governor's orders.
Real close to home here, I looked at the Powderhorn Cafe down there. I've known her. Tina for years. She got a life invested in that restaurant. She hasn't been open in 10 months, at least 10 months. And when she was open, she wasn't, you know, I'm sure you know how to read an income statement, and given her 25% occupancy does not work for her income statement, she's better off to keep the door shut when she has.
I understand. So what are we doing to help her?
So when we're talking business, I think we're talking business. But there are other businesses saying, you know, I just don't want to be open, and that's fine. That's their choice. But we can argue this all day long. We're not going to get nowhere.
Yep.
Mayor, absolutely nowhere.
Yeah,
there's two sides of the story.
Helper,
both either. Sides are getting very passionate. In my conversations with the governor's office, I explained to her and Commissioner Dyer, chairman of the board in Jackson County, said the exact same thing. He says, ma'am, I'm sitting on a pressure cooker. I don't know when the lid's creaking. And I see the gauge. The gauge is clear off. I have no idea when the lid's going to go off. But when it blows, it's not going to be pretty. And that was his words to go.
Have you been vaccinated, Mr. DeYoung?
Have I been?
Yes.
Yes.
Thank you.
You don't need to thank me. That's my personal choice.
I do thank you because it helps us reach the point where we won't keep spreading this. So it's not just about your health, but it's about all of us.
That doesn't mean anything anymore.
Yes,
said, okay, let's all get vaccinated, and then we'll open up, and that's not happening. We still haven't seen any gain on it. But when, like I say, you and I can sit here and banter back and forth, it's not going to do anybody good.
True.
We just got to let this thing play out. It's part of history, let's just hope it will be chronicled in history for what it was, okay?
I think there's one thing we can agree on, that your public health department's doing an excellent job.
Oh, absolutely.
Michael Burns doing an excellent job.
Yeah.
So let's just leave it at that.
Mike Weber,
thank you.
Sure.
Thank you.
Yeah. Just want to make sure we're talking the same.
Yes.
Yeah. I didn't know we had a new one. Did you?
It's well, awesome.
We do by now.
Oh, I'm good.
Okay. So the city then, we can expect something between the Active Club, but they've been notified of your decision?
Yeah. Yeah, I've been in contact with Travis already yesterday.
So. I had a couple phone calls from members that wanted to attend the workshop, and they said, well, they're going to go into executive session. I said, I think contractually they have to. When you start talking contracts, you have to be in executive session. They're not hiding anything behind closed doors and anything, because that's what people always say. There they go. You know,
they're just having a conversation until they know the answer.
They have a conversation. They cannot make a decision in executive session. They cannot make that decision outside of the executive session. So
I talked to the Active Club yesterday.
We defended that for you, because that's what has to happen.
Yeah.
We get the same thing with property negotiations. That's got to be done in executive session. So. There's a certain amount that I think the walking down the sidewalk public gets a lot of misinformation about, and of course we're always going to get it that we're hiding behind closed doors and everything, and then that's not true in a lot of cases. But this one we definitely defended you that was probably a thing to do because you were talking about the contract. Okay. So we'll wait to hear from, I've got a couple of buzzes on my phone, I imagine one of those might be it. Josephine County Transit Hub parking lot. And we're getting a lot of feedback on the parking lot, but it seems to be very, very localized. I asked one of the opponents to the parking lot, or to the bus hub, I called him because he always starts out his conversation with me when I pick up the phone is, we've known each other a long time. I know that's about ready to, we've been friends for a long time. I know that's about the time that I'm not getting invited to Christmas dinner ever again, and that's fine. That comes with this job. The Josephine County Transit Hub has been on the plate for a long, long time. Their complaint was, I think the big parking complaint was, we're taking 8 parking places on 3 parking places. You want to identify yourself?
Hi, I'm Lauren with the Daily Courier.
Yeah, thank you. Hi,
Lauren.
And that we were going to take away 8 on-street parking places, and then we showed, okay, we're going to give you 8 across the street in our parking lot. You know, off-street parking places right across the street, not good enough. You don't have a bathroom. So we went to work and said, we're going to put in public bathrooms, and we're going to put in this permanent public bathroom structure. And then you all got involved in trying to push a loo off on us that has to be pumped. I don't know where you came into the thing. Mm-hmm. I don't know where
plumbed.
That was plumbed.
Toilet.
That was what?
It's plumbed and it's planned, I think, from our side. He just never highlighted it on our side, but it's been in the plan. Because they're talking about buying, 2 more?
We were going to buy 2. If you buy 3, you get a cut rate.
Right.
We were going to buy actually 3 more.
Do you have to maintain that loo? Do you have to pump it?
No.
It's a toilet.
They're super durable, too.
What is the loo cost?
$100,000 each.
Yep. Yeah.
And you can't build a brick structure with a stainless steel sink in it, a toilet, for $100,000.
Not that it is as resilient as that. Have you been in one? Because they're very interesting. The maintenance on them are zil.
Dan, you're going to love them. You're going to love them. Trust me.
Yep.
You can just tone them down.
Wait.
They're supposed
to. I've never seen a picture. The ones I see in there look like a plastic blue room.
No. I went to one in Ireland. It was red steel. And
okay.
Stainless
right.
steel.
I'll retract my comment about the loop. Let's work together on it.
Yep.
I did call that person and I said, so what do you think about the off-street parking that's being taken away by the restaurants and all the bump outs for the restaurants and sidewalk cafes? Oh, that's okay. I'm all right with that. I said, what? they're taking valuable parking places from downtown. How can you say you're okay with that? Oh, I'm fine with that. So, you know, the two are not matching up.
Well, as long
parking.
As it's about a block away from wherever their business is located, they don't seem to matter.
You don't see that every day.
They just care about the parking right in front of their business.
And I think that the parking...
Oh, there's a picture.
Kind of resembles a bus hump. The bus state is a...
Or a bus shelter.
But anyway, that bus hump is going to go there. We're settled into that, and I think the city's in agreement with it, and it probably is going to make some folks mad, but everything around there makes some folks mad. It doesn't matter.
Do you guys know how long that's going to take before it's complete?
I think it's about a year.
Brandon?
Probably a year is
about
my
a year?
Guess.
Yeah. And it'll take this out, because ODOT messed with the B Street and 6th Street mm-hmm. intersection to really mess with our bus routes.
Mm-hmm.
And so they couldn't have waited a year until we got that one up and running. But we want to be good neighbors as a county entity, JCT, and it's a necessary service, has to go somewhere. And so it is a little rough, but we it's been so long, 32 public meetings, about 5 years of talking about it. It's like,
we
okay.
reviewed it pretty thoroughly just about a month ago. We had, I'm losing his name right now. The guy who's
transit
in charge of
director.
Transit, Scott Chancey, came in and gave us a presentation, and
right.
the council was comfortable with the way everything was
cool.
was going. Change is hard for people. I think I learned about the bump outs that day. I didn't really appreciate how they were going to make the transit system, you know, how it was going to fit there. Looked like a nice plan. So I think people will get used to it in time, and if they have businesses that are worth walking a few steps to, people will walk a few steps, and we see that in all urban areas. If you go to a big city like Portland or something, people are thrilled to death when they get a spot 5 blocks away, right? So
right.
here in Grants Pass, people will adjust as needed as we continue
I
to
think
grow.
You're right.
So,
it seems like every 3 to 5 years, Grants Pass gets in a panic about parking, and then we all talk about it. And then nothing changes, and then it's fine for a while. And then every 3 to 5 years it happens again. And so it's the ability, you used to be able to go to downtown and park within 2 or 3 spots of your store, and now you can't. And now you gotta walk around the block, and I kinda like that. You might walk by a store you've never stopped in. Let's take a look. And so
it's
I appreciate,
good for business in
yes,
some ways.
Yes, I appreciate your attitude on that.
I think you guys
really
had
helps.
Offered some parking spots in a nearby lot. Right as a
right
as
street.
Yeah
yep.
I thought that
right
was a good solution
yep.
and once people know that they can depend on those spots, they'll adjust as
we originally thought that courts used all of that parking lot for jury parking. Mm-hmm. Courts used to pay the county rent, if you will. They would actually rent those parking spots from the county. They ceased to do that a number of years ago, so they really don't have any grip on those. We did lease out, I think it was 6 or 8 parking spots to Girls Engineering, or to ZCS.
Yep,
ZCS. And they pay for those. And then the next bank over is right directly across the park hub, and we distinguished 8 parking places in there as public parking. Mm-hmm. And truth be known, is that those whole lots, really, we need them on Tuesdays are big court day because that's when jury selection goes on. But other than that, and then after hours, those are open for use. So I think it was a good compromise on that. But I don't know if it was enough for these half a dozen people that. And they're never. Yes, sir.
There is just one concern about parking, just to be mindful of going forward at that site, and that is if that site sees an increase of park and ride use going to Medford from that site. If there's a lot of people coming in and parking down here and taking the bus to Medford, it could really cause a lot of congestion down there. So I'm not saying that's going to happen, but it's something to keep in mind.
We don't have that issue now, but that's something to think about in the future.
Absolutely.
I would like to see us in the restructuring. We had in our restructuring of 199, we had a park and ride situation maybe out at YMCA that we were looking at, Rob.
It was kicked around.
I don't know if it ever got kicked through the goalposts or not, but there's a couple of locations that were.
Yeah, now that Grants Pass Downs has taken over, it might be tough to find a spot.
But I think Scott could easily enough change the commuter route to where it did not transfer from the bus up either, if there's a concern about a park.
That might be, that does have adequate parking.
Yep.
Maybe over behind Walmart or whatever, and use part of Walmart parking lot for the park and ride, because then their next stop is on the I-5 and gone. There's numerous places that we could probably do that.
That's a good one to watch there.
And I think CMAC money would come in on that, Rob, if we put a park and ride in?
Potentially, I mean, Scott could certainly fund it, I think, with the funding he's got in the last 2 years.
Downtown public bathroom, we already talked about the loo.
Do you guys have a location yet for either?
We have two out of three. We're going to put one behind the visitor center, and then we're going to put one diagonal across from Safeway. The Beaver Lot, just
so
a couple blocks.
Both on G.
Kind of one's central. Yep.
Yep. Nice.
Keep them in the core where they'll get the most use and they're the most visible.
And we have one spare to put somewhere yet to be determined.
Oh, so besides R1, you're going to buy three.
Mm-hmm.
I thought it was just two more to make three. Okay.
I believe you guys are buying two to put at that one location.
Oh. Scott's getting two, yeah.
Oh, okay. Mm-hmm.
Two for the bus hub.
Oh, yeah. Maybe the price cut is at five. Maybe that's why we're getting three or something. I don't know.
Right, okay.
You guys are getting two. We're getting three.
Yeah.
Okay.
This is actually a really good tourist thing, too, because those are safe. They don't have the same look as the ones in the visitor center. And doesn't it take a coin to get in as like a quarter or something?
I don't believe so. I think they're free.
Yeah, the one I went to, I think in Ireland, it just took a quarter, so you just couldn't walk in. But you could, or tokens from local
merchants.
Merchants was another way people did it.
Uh-huh.
But it can survive a person that was trying to do more than just go to the bathroom in there, whatever that looks like.
The idea behind them is that they're indestructible. That's the whole point of these, is that they don't have ceramic sinks that can be broken, or toilets, you know, that can be, their toilets have a little bit bigger, you know,
hole piping
so that they don't get clogged as easily. You can hose
them
down.
And they're self-sanitizing in between use.
Wipe off the graffiti if anybody were to graffiti them. You can't, they're indestructible.
Yeah, a lot of them have a full shower in there afterwards. It cleans everything. It goes right down in the drain. Everything gets rinsed.
We just had at Westfield Park, we just had this week over the weekend, we have the stalls and we have a nice cinder block wall between the two. Well, someone decided to they pushed the wall down between the two toilets.
Wow.
Yeah, so.
Where was that at?
Westfield Park.
My own neighborhood.
Yeah.
The kids live down there, I guarantee you.
Yeah.
Not a good part.
So, talking about vandalism, this is cinder block construction versus these things.
Right.
Maybe this is.
These are proven very durable.
Yeah.
There was a lady contact me, been almost a year ago now, and her suggestion, which I don't know if the zoos have it in there, is like a changing table for infants.
Yeah, I think it does.
We can add that. It's an extra cost.
She brought, I don't know if the changing table will get broken off or what that looks like.
Right.
But she said a lot of times, you know, it's the changing table for infants, and I don't, you know, maybe that can be something to look into. Okay, all right.
That's an add-on.
Yeah, we had discussed adding those onto ours.
While you are talking parking lots,
mm-hmm.
I read the paper the other day where parking lots were a long time ago said to be named after animals.
Still are.
That isn't when it started out, because I know when it started out, it was naming parking lots after art objects, and it included the Committee for Public Art, that they would once a year come up with an art object. We had the Grasshopper Lot, we had the Mark Twain Lot, and then the other day, it's got to be an animal. It's got to be a salmon, it's got to be a bear, it's got to be something in it. And that was not the intent at the beginning.
We have one called Redwood, so that one's not an animal.
Mm-hmm.
The owl lot was because
the rest may be owls.
On the side of it.
The rest may be all animals.
Yeah.
They used to be the red lot, the green lot stuff, which was boring. And so while we had those art objects, and they include the Committee on Public Art.
Yes.
It was get a sculpture, whatever you want, and then we submit that, and the council will approve that for.
Yeah, because they did a salmon lot sculpture.
Mm-hmm. Yep,
I'm just saying, there's no duck and beaver sculpture yet, is there?
Not yet. I believe beaver.
You've got plenty of parking.
Duck may be the next one. So last year, they opened at the Frog Lot, which is where the old Sears was, kind of on Park Street. So there's, yeah, several frog sculptures there.
Where that policy originally came from was not strictly animals, because there's a lot of people, like the guy that did the Mark Twain thing, you know, with the kid with the fishing pole, or Tom Sawyer, or whatever it is. Those are all different art sculptures of different things that are not animals, and you're limiting the public art element to one.
Well, the lots are all named and have been named for several years, maybe since you were on the council. They've been named for quite a number of years, and they have the, you know, the branded signs on them.
Yeah, that came through when we branded with John Dunn experience.
Yeah, that's when it happened.
But they don't all have art yet. Most of them have a related art piece, but there are a couple that don't. And like you said, COPA is working on doing one a year.
And it was just in the paper that it had to be an animal. I remember it being art.
It's the newspaper.
I think all of them but one are animal, but they are all named.
Is that Redwood Lot on the docket to be rehabbed? Is that what I saw?
Well, the Redwood Lot definitely needs it. There's multiple issues with the Redwood Lot.
Some of the trees may have to go.
The majority of the trees would have to go. And that in itself would make a big change. And so it's more complicated. But yeah, that definitely
needs to be resurfaced. Because it's pretty tight in there, too.
It is.
It was built for smarter cars and not excursions.
Yeah.
Is that the one behind the theater? Behind Rogue Theater?
That's the one.
Yeah, that's the one.
Anyway.
Moving on to item number 6, additional subject matters. Anybody got anything they want to talk about? Open gangway. Yes, sir.
Yeah, at the city, one of the things we're talking about is exploring a urban campground / car campground for, people of very, very modest means to try to alleviate the problem in the park, alleviate the problem downtown, alleviate the problem of people camping, parking on the streets around town. So that's something we're actively looking at. And I know we've had discussions in the past where you have been supportive of looking at something like that happening, and maybe even seeing if there's some opportunity for the county and the city to partner up to help make that more effective. So I was just wondering if we should be, you know, discussing that with you, including you in these conversations, or what your thoughts are.
Well, we got that committee started, and it just started the other day. I had a question at the very beginning of it, how we get here. Instead of saying, why are we here now? We've been working on this for 25 years, how we get here? What have we done to encourage wrong or whatever that we're here now? And you know, the statement was made, well, it's like this all over the nation, and it's not. If you get out of Grants Pass, you go to the flyover states, and it's not there. There's there in some places, but it's not there blanket across the blanket statement like that. One brought up to me the other day, the landfill. We could have our bus goes right by there to Merlin. We have to have access to public transportation, which is something we brought up the other day. You know, you've got a huge area up there, the landfill. And, you know, you've got water there, you've got fresh water there, you've got, a possibility we can, our bus up, we'll go right past it. It's hard to say. I don't know, it's just something that popped up that somebody said.
Was there a new
committee? We're talking about a homeless camp at the landfill, is that your suggestion? Okay. Wow.
Because we brought up the other day at the meeting, it was, well, we use the property up on Midland. No, you won't, that belongs to Asante. Well, then we'll go right out here behind the Dutch Brothers stand on Agnes. That's the front porch of exit 55. That's what you want, is a home camp right on your front porch. And that's owned by Dutch Brothers. You don't own that. Oh, well then we'll go, what was the other one? There was another one.
There was a couple of them that were focused up the Vine and
the church.
The church.
Yeah, we'll go to the old bowling alley. That's where we're going. I said, that's exit 58, right next to the freeway again. I don't know that that's what you want to do.
Is there a new committee? Yes, is that what you said?
So who were you talking to? I'm not caught up.
Aaron, your committee.
Yeah. So I mentioned last Wednesday that we got a group together making some progress. So just put some stakeholders in the same room.
Oh, some internal group. Okay.
Yeah. Gotcha. Rogue Retreat. The Mission,
right?
Kelly Wessels from UCAN.
It seems like this whole When people say homelessness, I hate that term. It's transiency I want to get rid of. If you're homeless and you want some help, I'd love to help you. And I don't think government should help you, but...
And Darren, I always said that. There is a difference.
Yeah, there is a difference. And they, in treating this problem nationwide, we've only made it worse so far. And they blame that on a lot of things. But it seems like the myopic view has always been, if they only had a place to stay that was safe, everything else will fall into line. And that's turned out not to be true yet. And so I hate for the first solution to be, let's make a place to stay for free, and then we'll deal with what comes next. It's like, no, you have to start dealing with things at the same time or before you start putting someone in free government housing, or even in private sector subsidized housing. And so I'm more after, our problem right now is workforce housing. We have people, professionals, all the way down to people that just graduated high school, that need a place to stay and can't afford it. And so that's where my economic focus is as far as the county. I think that every time a community, especially in a state that has allowed this, like California, Oregon, and Washington, that tries to deal with it, you end up with Portland and Eugene, where you have acres of tents spread throughout your city with the government setting the blue bathroom there. And you're not solving the problem. You're enabling someone to live in the cracks of society. And so as you guys march towards this, I'm really glad I'm not mayor, because I disagree with the approach. I think getting property set aside and allowing tents is a terrible idea. I think allowing them in the park is one of the worst as well. If you build it, they will come. It has been proven over and over. Any warming center will tell you. That people show up. And so Grants Pass should not put out the welcome mat for transiency. We're working on the homeless problem overtime for people that really want help. We're working on for the poor lady whose husband left her, or whatever it is, and left her with three kids. Well, I want to help her so bad, I want to get her on her feet, because she wants to function for her kid's sake or whatever. But if you're trying to live in the cracks, and the city police will tell you, we don't have 1,000 homeless. We've got about 30 problem childs that are running the homeless tribal thing in our city. And it's getting bad, because the government keeps saying, yeah, you can stay there. Yeah, you can stay there. No problem. We won't kick you out. I do appreciate the police kicking them out of the park in the morning, because yeah, it's just a place to camp. Can't live there. You can camp overnight. And so as this lawsuit settles out, I hope that the wisdom prevails that's been gathered from all these cities that have failed to address the problem, and we do something that actually helps. And so I'd be a part of that if it actually helps. But if we're going to just make a place to stay temporarily, I'm out. And you'll have to talk to Dan and Herman about it.
Okay, one of the things that I think we make a real tough assumption, we make a real big assumption, and I don't think it's an assumption we should entertain, is that everybody wants to be like us. Everybody wants to go home to bed at night. Everybody wants this. Everybody wants that. And there is a certain amount of our population, whether they be mentally ill, drug addicted, or the result of too many drugs or whatever. I don't know what their background is or how they ended up there. Whether you got thrown out of jail and no place to go, no job, no nothing, nobody's going to hire me, so on and so forth. And they end up in this community, in this level of society, and you go up and say, I want to help you. I want to move here. I don't want your help. Just leave me alone. I don't mind sleeping out here, you know, underneath the head somewhere. We assume that everybody wants to live like we do, and that's an assumption I don't think we can take, because we're never, ever going to convince those people to sleep in a warm bed and take a shower at that gospel restoration. There are a certain amount of people that do want help. That's the ones I think Commissioner Fowler is leaning toward. Do you need, yeah, I need help, and I want it.
So what is the plan to help those people who do want help?
I really don't know. And I think the churches used to get really involved in it. They still
used to be families and churches took care of that.
You know what I mean?
And now government's trying to do it, and we just got a big old club going, I don't know how to do this.
Yeah.
Trying to fix the problem
the
with
club
our big
has got money written all over us. It's our taxpayer money.
Government's terrible at fixing stuff.
It's going to be a conversation. This is our first so-called meeting. And, you know, Aaron set forth the agenda, and I think we covered some good topics. We only got halfway through it. We weren't supposed to be there an hour, hour and a half. We were there over 2 hours, and we still didn't get halfway through your agenda. So we got a lot of talking yet to do. But there's some pretty smart heads in the room, and I look around, and Kelly Wessels thinks everybody needs to live. like she, what her rendition of living is. And you know, Brian Botelmer was there. And from the Gospel Rescue Mission, there was a guy from All Care who was suggesting everybody else's property but theirs, which I thought was kind of interesting. Well, why don't we put it up there and where All Care was going to build the second half of their building? I said, put it right behind your building. Oh, I don't know. I had nothing to say about that. But. So I think, you know, we're going to have this conversation, but I urge somebody to call Coeur d'Alene, Idaho, because Coeur d'Alene has done exactly what Derek said. They have a situation, but it is not on your doorstep. It is a place where the people can, if they so choose to live in a handout pup tent. I get real frustrated with who is giving away the meals in styrofoam containers and a plastic bag. Because I have to clean up the styrofoam containers and plastic bag. These are not people that eat at a deal and go find a receptacle and put it away. It's thrown in somebody else, taxpayer money, solid waste, whatever. Has got to come by and clean that up. Now there's a young gentleman here in town that's working on a litter program that he and I are working together on. We'll see if that helps out. Okay,
well, yes. And maybe somewhere central like the water treatment plant. I know you didn't end up with a lot of extra property in that negotiation, but that's nice and centrally located where it's not in the residential neighborhood.
It's right off the parkway, though.
It is off the parkway. I'll give you that.
These are people who need access to food and,
yep, services.
And services. So we can't put them out in the boonies somewhere because they need, you know, they need to be.
I would suggest calling Coeur d'Alene, Idaho, because they fixed this problem years ago.
Or they did a lot better at addressing it, for sure.
Yeah. We're not the first ones to have this problem.
I think we've discussed how to address it, but I think Brian's question was more like we need a location at this point. If you have any ideas, right. We are looking for a location because we do have a service provider.
See if there's something out there.
Yeah, I was just going to say philosophically, we can be wherever we are. We're not in the same place, but one of the goals of what we're trying to accomplish is we're trying to get to a point where we're not going to have to allow homeless people in the parks. And I think we all want that. And this is a step to that goal.
So not one size fits all by any way stretch of the imagination. You have two homeless people living in the same tent, and they've got the different ideas to what that should look like.
What the solution is, yeah.
What the solution is. So I'm surprised this conversation hasn't happened years and years ago. It's always been an issue.
If it was easy, we'd already fix it.
We did fix a little bit. When we were on council, we fixed a little bit of it by saying the gospel to the soup kitchen, you're done. You're gonna go to the
mobile method.
Yeah, I often thought, okay, if we're gonna hand out meals, let's do it at the jail. You've got your cafeteria there and your you know, everything to make it, your galleys there and everything else, and you know, I'm homeless or I'm out of work and whatnot, and I want my wife and kids to go to a meal and just do it right behind the jail, and during certain hours that you go back in there and you have your meal. And I was watching across the street when I was getting a stereo put in my car one day, and I walked on how many drug deals go down at the St. Vincent de Paul. And I thought, gee, many Christmas, you know, stop right there. This guy would have money and exchange in hand. You can fact check that if you want, but you call me a liar, and I'm going to drag you through the mud, okay? I'm just
teasing. Let me hold
because the St. Vincent de Paul, you'd have to go back in time. But anyway, I think that, you know, there is a solution out there, but it's not going to be a blanket. Yes, sir.
Well, your mini tirade got me off track, so now I forgot what I was going to say.
He's used to me.
So anyway, I've got a list of properties that I'm exploring and taking
a look at. I
remember now. Identifying the property owners. Currently, right now, it has to be only an industrial business park. Unless council changes their current code.
Does that put it out like Spalding?
Spalding, anything in the blue and purple map area that we were looking at the other day. And unless council, which we're discussing, changing back to where we were pre-2015 when we made the change for social services in the commercial districts, then that would open it up to commercial districts also to where you can house a urban campground.
Okay. I was going to ask if Helene has been consulted about county property that might be viable for this?
Not that I've heard of. I'm a liaison to that.
Okay.
Not that I've heard of.
She's got a wealth of knowledge, so it might be worth looping her in.
Yep.
Helene Lulich, the property manager for the county.
Okay. Yep. She'd be a good one to be resourced for that. Absolutely.
Okay. Anything else from the city? Anything else from the county?
I mean, I got more.
Yes, go ahead.
We have these American.
To noon, Chair.
We got these American Rescue Funds coming in. American, whatever it's called.
American Rescue Plan Act?
Thank you. So I know there's been kind of some talk I've heard, you know, on the edges about things that you guys might do, things that we might do, things we might be able to partner together on. Mm-hmm. I was just wondering if you guys had any ideas about things we might be able to partner together on.
We do have some. We're starting a task force. The commission approved it the other day. Some internal folks, a budget member, and some community members to try and recommend to the commissioners where it should go. And because we have the $17 million in 2 years, we want to help the cities as well, not just outside of the cities, because you guys got a different
sure
share.
We're not doubling up.
Yeah, but then we want to make sure we're not, no duplication and stuff. And so we're going to have our own, but we want to have strong liaisons to the city of Cave Junction and city of Grants Pass, so that whether it's staff or political, so that they know, each knows what each other's doing. And we've already got a matrix of possible things you could spend it on that we're starting to fill in to ask the question of that group. Okay, these are the things we think that all need addressed. And so we're moving in that direction, but the criteria still hasn't come down. And so until that happens, we're going to probably form up in 3 weeks or so, and maybe by then they'll have some criteria out. Because this is a great once-in-a-lifetime chance to really help some things we've been lagging on. And the reason I can sleep at night is because they stopped the logging in the 90s and promised us $12 million a year, and now we're down to $2 million a year. And so they've been missing that money for a while. So I can sleep at night knowing that we're getting some of that money back that we deserved and bargained for. We're going to definitely make it do one-time monies for one-time projects. Our main three are broadband access throughout the county, new health department location, and of course number one is business help. We want to come up with a way to make sure the businesses can stay afloat, and economic development. That kind of money will help them, whether we just forgive restaurant business license throughout the county like we did this year, which was very helpful, $500 to $700 for each restaurant. We don't have a business fee for the rest of the businesses, you guys do. And so we can't really incentivize that, but that's one way you might consider incentivizing, doing away with the business license or something. It's kind of equitable. You pay it for a year out of that COVID money for economic development. So we're looking for those ways to get at those businesses in a way that really helps and is equitable and fair is what we're angling for.
Yeah, I don't even know if we've got the full set of rules out for the federal
government. No, we don't.
That's what we can really spend that on.
No.
I know that we're really not allowed to spend it on operational. It should be more of a capital project.
And you can't spend it to pay down your PERS.
I think that we're going to be asked, you'll be asked, I won't be asked, but 15 years from now, somebody's going to dig it up and go, what the heck, you spend that $18 million on? You go, walk with me. This is the evidence locker. You can touch it. This is what we spent that amount of money on.
That's one of our goals.
This is broadband. This, you can touch it. You can go out to your garage and see that it is tangible rather than operational. Because I know some of the people, one of the commissioners the other day, we got a shortfall in our budget. We're just going to put it there. Whoa. I don't know if you can do that at operations. No, you can't make government bigger with it, which is, I think, a mandate that I would definitely agree with.
Yeah, I would just have maybe one suggestion for the county, and some I'm going to bring up at the city too, but if you're going to look to reinvest that money as opposed to spend it, if you use it for solar installations, every dollar you spend is going to return two. So, and that's an investment that's going to pay you back over 20 to 30 years. So in the end, it'll just give you more money to put towards your operations. So just wanted to, I know we've talked about that before, and so I just wanted to remind you.
Great, thank you.
Yep.
And with that, anything else?
$12 straight up.
Mayor, good to see you. I've never met you before.
Yeah, nice
good
to meet you.
Good to put a name with a face. It's the eye.
Well, at least the eyes.
I will recognize.
The eyes have it.
The eyes have it.
Guys, I got extra. I brought extras if you guys want.
Thanks.
No? All right.
My childhood rainbow got ruined. So.
Oh, yeah, exactly. Yeah. Anyway, good to see y'all.
Thank you.
Good
nice to see you.
This meeting is adjourned at what time, Jared?
Right at 12, man. You nailed it.
12 o'clock.